Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Glad you're all here. When we gather together like this at Easter, what is it that we're celebrating? What is it that we're celebrating? I'd like to propose to you that there are many levels of meaning to Easter, very many levels of understanding this Christ being raised from the dead. I would presume that most of us certainly are here. Our faith tells us that this Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and has conquered death. And by conquering death, invites us into this new life, into this eternal life. This idea of not fearing death, but death being this entrance into new life. And we certainly come here today to celebrate that. And I think we hear that message in the first part of this gospel reading that we just heard. But I think there's another level of meaning that I'd like to talk a little bit about today as well. What do we just hear in the reading? The women are going to the tomb where Jesus has been buried. And the tomb, there's this large stone that would have been rolled in place. I'm told the stone would have been about the height of a human being, just a huge stone. And when it was rolled in place, it was not meant to be moved. And they're getting to the tomb concerned about this stone. But when they get there, this is a wonderful image. I think it's one of my favorite resurrection stories. Each gospel has a version of the resurrection story. And this story is they get to the tomb, and what do they find? The angel sitting on that stone. I love that image. The stone, which is the symbol of death, and the angel sitting on it. And from that stone announces new life, announces that Christ has been raised from the dead. That stone has become a throne from which new life is announced. What a powerful image if you think about that. Just dwell on that image. And the angel says to these women, he's not here. He's been raised from the dead. And that's a part of the Easter story that I think we're very familiar with. And it's the one we remember, and it's what we come here, and we celebrate that. And rightfully so. But the rest of that story can engage us in even deeper ways, I think. What does the angel say? He's not here. He's been raised. He has gone ahead of you to Galilee. There you will find him. We don't dwell on that part too much. But I'd like to offer some thoughts on that this morning. Isn't it interesting that the way the stories are told about the resurrection, none of them refer to Jesus, for instance, going back to the temple in Jerusalem, to the high priests to appear to them. There's no story of Jesus going back to Pilate or those of power to appear to them. Rather, Jesus goes to Galilee, to this town, to this area among people who are continuing to be in need of his presence as they had need of his presence before the resurrection. He returns to this community, to this people of who are struggling with their lives, who perhaps are oppressed or hungry, poor, just living their daily lives. And that's where Jesus goes. That's what the story says. That's where they go. I'd like to dwell on that a little bit this morning. There is a bishop. His name was Helder, H-E-L-D-E-R, Camara, C-A-M-A-R-A. Helder Camara. He was referred to as Dom Helder Camara. He was a bishop in Brazil, and in the Brazilian culture, someone who was admired and looked up to, they put the word Dom in front of their name. Dom means someone of really respect. Dom Helder Camara was a bishop in Brazil, in the area of Recife, Brazil. And he became bishop there in the 1960s through the mid-1980s. I was back in that time, towards the end of his episcopacy, I was, in formation in the seminary and was very much learned a lot about him in my life. And I'd like to share a little bit about him this morning. He was a bishop who was really had this incredible commitment to the poor. Commitment to the poor, particularly in his diocese in Brazil, which was suffering from poverty. He lived in the midst of that. He was a very frail man, about 5 feet tall, very humble man, but he felt this call to live and minister among the poor. Two things about his ministry. In the 1960s, in the Roman Catholic Church, there was the Vatican Council. You may have heard of the Vatican Council. It was a time, I think, throughout Christianity, where there were many, many changes, many challenges of who we needed to be as we went forward. Our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters had the Vatican Council, and Bishop or Dom Helder Camara was at the Vatican Council and had some influence in that. One of the phrases, one of the challenges he brought to the council had to do with their issues of justice, of social justice, in the writings of the Vatican Council. And one of the phrases that he contributed to those documents was this phrase, that the church must have a preferential option for the poor. The church must have a preferential option for the poor. That phrase has continued in teachings and theology, not only with our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, but in many other Christian areas. A preferential option for the poor. Dom Helder Camara pointed out that the church is well experienced in standing with the powerful. The church is well experienced in standing with the wealthy. But the church must have a preferred option. To stand with the poor, to live with the poor, to be in the midst of the poor, and to live out that ministry. It's a challenge at that time. There's a quote, the second quote I want to share with you is there was a quote that he's known for when he was bishop in Brazil. He said one time, "When I feed the poor, they call me a saint. But when I ask, why are they poor? I'm called a communist. When I feed the poor, they call me a saint. When I ask, why are they poor? I'm called a communist." Charity, justice. Both extremely necessary in our world and in our ministries to help those who are in poverty, to help those who need to be helped up and held up and raised up. But also the challenge for us, and I think it's part of the gospel, is why does this exist? I was having a conversation with a parishioner a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about world hunger and world poverty, and he was saying how someone once said to him, "How does God allow poverty and hunger in the world? How does God allow that?" This other person said, "How does God allow it? God didn't create this. God didn't create hunger and poverty. We've done that quite well. God's waiting for us. God's waiting for us to change that." And the suggestion is that is part of the gospel message. Jesus went to Galilee. That's where this new life was proclaimed and lived. And what is the message to the women from the angel? Yes, he's been raised from the dead, but if you want to be with him, where do you need to go? To Galilee. To Galilee. Don't hang around this tomb. It's not just about this. It's not just about death being conquered and we enter into this new life at a later time. But that this new life is something to live into now. Jesus is already in Galilee. There you'll find him. I want to share that with you this morning. And a challenge to all of us of going to Galilee. You know, I've often pointed out, and I want to point out again today, that within our faith community here at St. Paul's, I'm always so impressed with our youth who spend a lot of time in Galilee. We had a group just come back from New Orleans a few weeks ago. went down to work with people who are still struggling from the hurricane in the Gulf Coast from a few years ago. They went down there and they spent time there. They went to Galilee. In a couple of months, our young folks will be going on the ASP trip to Virginia. Or I think it's Virginia, West Virginia. Virginia. And about 25 have signed up so far. And we still need some adults to help out. If you'd like to go with them to Galilee, please step forward and let us know that so you can go with them. Going to Galilee, that's where Jesus is. That's where this new life is lived. And I propose to you, that's the message that Bishop Curry is trying to engage with us in his convention address he gave back in November, and which we've talked about here in the parish in our vestry messaging. The message of Bishop Curry was, as a diocese, we're called to go deep, to go speak, to go do. Go deep, go speak, go do. To go deep into our hearts and ask those why questions. Ask the why questions and begin to have dialogue and conversation about that and learn about this. And why is it like this? Why is the world like this? And what can we do about it? And go forth and do something. Bring this new life to our world. Friends, we don't have to wait till we die to experience this new life. The resurrection is a challenge to us to live this life now, to change this world in which we live. At the 9 o'clock service, we had a children's service, children's homily, and I said to the children, you know, when I was your age, believe it or not, I really felt that I could change the world. And I still do. And I hope you do too. We can change this world. We can make a difference in this world. We need to continue to reach out and help those who need help. But we're also challenged to justice, to change this world into the vision and the dream that God has for it. My friends, I wish you a happy and joyous Easter. I invite you and challenge you to go to Galilee. Go to Galilee. There you'll find him. There you'll find him.